It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at the Globe, where the Tigers are starting to, you know, get ready, doing some infield, doing some batting practice here in just a couple of minutes. Then your Rangers will be out there, and they're going to be playing ball tonight, 6:30 pregame here on your home of the Rangers. How much do you believe is one of the questions we'll be discussing throughout your broadcast afternoon slash evening. And if you're on your way out here to the Globe, please do stop by. We'd love to say hi. Just had an incredible break there. As Rangers Hospitality there, the Delaware North folks, they brought back they brought down the Boomstick Burrito, which Chief is in the process of, like, almost halfway through, which is quite impressive.
I'd kind of like to see him finish that.
Yeah.
I know it's not a bet payoff because that might just be too enjoyable. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. But I would like to see if maybe you can down that whole thing by the end of the show.
He's into the good stuff down here with the ground beef and the rice. That looks outstanding.
Oh, there's rice in there? That would be so heavy.
Yes, it is. It's quite impressive. You know, that's more daunting than the Boomstick did take down. The Boomstick Burger?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, there was a big-time density to that as well, which was surprising. But just the general amount of volume that they're able to wedge in there with all that rice. I mean, pretty heavy rice ratio, I would say.
Rice ratio?
So the doors will open in a couple hours if you want to swing by. There should be at least a third of that Boomstick Burrito if I was going to eyeball it. But we got the buffalo pulled pork sandwiches down, the loaded fries.
Those loaded fries are fire.
The loaded fries are delicious.
They have some secret deliciousness in there. But it's time now for your NFL news of the day with Woolchuck. Here he is.
All right, so we opened up, obviously, with the Jaden Blue story. Borderline lazy was the quote from a former Cowboys coach, Stretch Schmidt, that he has heard from somebody else currently on the staff that has not been named. And I guess he said this on Locked On Cowboys on that podcast, which personally not where I'm going to get my information from. Marcus Mosher, not a guy that I would really be trusting. But Jaden Blue has taken to Instagram, and he said, LMAO, taking time out your day to make fake article about me for attention with the crying face laughing emoji. So, Blue calling BS on that one. Again, I've been trying to source around. I can't really get any validity to this either, other than the fact that, yes, possibly behind and needs to just improve his knowledge of the playbook as we get into training camp.
Okay. I mean, so knowledge of the playbook is legitimate, right? Like, how long ago were you drafted? You know, have you hit the ground totally eyes wide open, trying to know as much as you possibly can before training camp starts? I think those ideas are consistent. It's just like, you know, you use a word like lazy or soft. You know, that's a tag that player and everybody around him knows, okay, we have to eliminate this. And there's no advantage in the team admitting, yes, we drafted a guy. Maybe we didn't do our homework on him. Maybe he's soft. So, I mean, it could be PR-ish. It could be PR spin to shoot down this story that stretches dead balls on right about. I don't want to eliminate that out of the possibilities, because whenever you're dealing with sources that work for the team, there's a very serious potential that you're still getting spin, even if it's a friend. Like, if a good friend called me and wanted to talk to me about 105.3 The Fan, do you think I would give him 100% dead balls honesty, transparency on everything going on behind the scenes? No.
No?
No. Because, you know, we're positive. We are, you know, choosing to look at things with glass half full, right? I don't want to focus on the shortcomings of anything to do with this operation if anybody on the outside is asking me about it. There is a reality of everybody's got warts, everybody's got challenges. But when we're talking from a business standpoint, this is how you feed your family. You know,
definitely.
And not only would you not want to put anything out into the ether that's negative about your football team, but you don't want anybody inside your organization knowing you were talking badly. You know, so it's really tough to get to the bottom of these things. Usually when there's a little bit of smoke, you can't totally rule something out.
No. Hopefully if there is any credibility here, Blue uses it as motivation.
I like it.
And just absolutely kicks ass and takes names and makes him a better player, stronger player. But I don't know. I think it's way too early to jump to a conclusion on an individual that has been with the team for 2 months. You know, so we'll wait and see how this thing plays out.
Well, maybe, I mean, in your first year, you're learning.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And what was okay in college, where the coaches are like, wow, this kid's really talented. We got some plays for him. He'll be gone in 3 months. You know? there's a lot of times in college, you just take your talented players and put them in a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Where once you arrive in the NFL, there's a much higher standard for everything and the ways you go about your business. Because if you don't hit that level, they know you're probably not going to make it.
Anytime you hear Don Van Natta, you're like, oh gosh, this is going to be a big news bomb.
Don Van Natta bleeping around.
Woo!
He doesn't publish much, but when he does, it's usually hot.
It's usually very hot. Very specy. And we got a Specy Friday going on. Now former, as he stepped down yesterday, NFL Players Association leader Lloyd Howell Jr.
Damn it, Lloyd.
After he resigned, he has now had an outside investigation. Maybe this is why he got to jump on this and said, I'm going to get out of here yesterday, because now the article is out. And the documents here from that the union received this week showed that Lloyd Howell Jr.
was on Epstein Island.
Yeah, that's possible. But he also charged the union for two visits to strip clubs, including a $738.82 car service that took him from the airport to one of the clubs. One receipt shows Howell was picked up in a sedan by a car service at Fort Lauderdale Airport. The car's first stop was at a nearby Miami Gardens address, where the driver was hired to wait 7 hours outside.
Dang.
Nearly 8 hours later, at 6 a.m., the car then dropped Howell off at his luxury condo. And later, you had another man come by, and they went to the Tootsie's Cabaret.
Tootsie's. I think that would be Tootsie's.
Is it Tootsie?
I mean, would you rather go to a club named Tootsie's or Tootsie's?
Well, I'll tell you, if you're looking to go to a club and it's rated the number one full nude club, it could be Tootsie's or Tootsie's. I'd probably be in.
Tootsie's has a little bit of different marketing involved.
Wolchuk might be in if it was Shafty's.
Gassy. Hey, if it was Shafty's, you know I'd be there. 100%. Twigs and berries, maybe. Now, some of the stuff in this is just absolutely crazy. Like, Adam Schefter went ahead and clipped a little bit of a portion of this. But per the story, during this year, now we're going back to February, just a few months ago, at the NFLPA Summit, two union employees went to the Magic City Strip Club for an outing that included $2,426 in charges of cash withdrawals, ranging from $200 to $525 from a club ATM at Magic City.
Honey, I ate a lot of chicken wings that night.
They used two VIP rooms, according to the expense report. The purpose of the strip club outing? Player engagement.
These guys are so funny, thinking that it's going to just be no problem to expense
no big deal
strip club purchases.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do that on a business trip, it should be undercover mission. This is a solo mission. I'm going Uber. I'm going with the money out of my own checking account. Yeah. I'm not spending NFLPA money for the driver or for the dances. I mean, you know, clearly this guy has some unreleased tension that he's looking for an outlet for. And I would just, I don't know, how long did this go on for? How did he get so confident?
Well, I mean, he's only been with the NFLPA for 2 years. So, I mean, he couldn't have been more.
He has some level of track record. Like, you scroll down in the article, and they reference something about some other company that he was with back in, like, 2015, and there was strip club expensing.
And that's just, I mean, that's just an oversight by the Players Association. And it also is why they're probably the worst Players Association in any of the major sports. Like, the NFLPA needs to kind of get their bleep together. Like, the Morris Smith was not very good either. That's why they're constantly losing when it comes to these collective bargaining agreements and all the powers going back to the owners. I mean, the second rounders that are now finally all getting signed, they're fighting for fully guaranteed deals. Like, that's something that the NFLPA probably should have been fighting for a long time ago.
Yeah. They're not very good at negotiating, and I don't know if anybody can fix it, because what you have is a union of, what is it, 1,500 players? Am I off on that? Are we looking at more? But anyway, you only have 10 guys who are wealthy enough to be like, it's fine, we don't have to play ever again.
Yeah.
Per team. You have 50 guys or 40 guys that are like, dude, I need this paycheck. We cannot flush a season on my 3-year contract, because guess what? By the time I'm 25 years old, they're going to be moving on to the latest and greatest. You know, it is really tough. But you're right. that whether it's DeMora Smith or this latest guy, there are things behind the scenes that would make you think, okay, we might not ever get this negotiation perfect, but we do need a better leader.
Yeah, like I don't have an issue with them doing this and having fun, but man, expensing it on the company dime, that is ballsy.
A lot of people texting in saying the companies that they work for, this happens all the time.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I think it's like some upper management clearance level thing where it's like, oh, boys will be boys, and you know, this is part of our compensation package that when you're on the road, go ahead and do whatever you need to do to entertain.
Yeah, exactly. I think you have like this sort of entertainment ambiguous column in the budget, and that could be entertainment.
Which is what they said, which is what they expensed it as, according to Don Van Natta. I mean, but I guess it's frowned upon.
You get into some interesting conversations with you know, business owners. And they'll be like, the way to get business done is to take guys on hunting trips that are just debauchery. Or we're going on a golf weekend, debauchery, right? That's how you close deals. It's like, I want to do business with that guy because when we're negotiating, he takes me somewhere for an insane experience.
Sure.
I mean, that's a huge part of like corporate recruiting and deal making.
Trust. Able to build some stuff. You see somebody in that element doing some crazy wild things. It's like, hey. All right, now.
Yeah, you do have some of that leverage, you know.
And
I don't know how you would want to wield that. I think you'd probably want to stay on the side of, you know, you do business with me and we have a hell of a time every quarter when we're getting ready to sign the contracts.
All right, 877, what up, Chris?
Oh, we got a Wells brother in the building.
881-1053, the teams under the most amount of pressure entering 2025. NFL.com put out one of their lists today. And I think for me, like, I wonder – how much pressure do you see this Dallas Cowboys team under? Because they had them at number 5 of the 11 teams they listed here. I think certainly I immediately would think of the Bills, the Ravens. Those teams are under an immense amount of pressure. You've got Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. What's the one thing that they need to still get on their resume right now? It's the Super Bowl. Can you get over the hump of Kansas City and one Patrick Mahomes? Those two teams that have been knocking on the door, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, another, like, all of them are in that same category. And for Zach Taylor, like, dude, you could be fighting for your job this year, but the Cowboys at 5 on this.
Who'd they have as number one?
Number one was Pittsburgh.
Okay, because you have Aaron Rodgers for the 1 year. You have T.J. Watt, who just got paid at 30. I get that. And it'll be interesting to see if the Steelers can challenge there in that conference because they had a great start to last year. I don't think the Bengals have any pressure on them right now because of how bad their running game and defense is.
Yeah, the defense is brutal.
Maybe Zach Taylor feels it like, wow, how do I get over 500 and get back in the playoffs with this thing? But I don't know if that Cincinnati thing feels any pressure. Cowboys? Shoot, I think a similar thing applies to them. Even though they have a better overall roster than the Bengals, I wouldn't feel like, wow, if we don't win this year, we're really letting ourselves down. There's just not enough good players here. You know, sure, the 30-plus years provides pressure from the fan base and the expectation that, hey, when are you guys going to get back in the fight? But for me, I don't think like this is a, wow, you better show what you got. Now, Dak might feel as specifically as we talked about yesterday, if he does not play great, it would actually cost them the same salary cap dead money hit at the end of this year than it would at the end of the contract because of how you push things back. So I could see Dak, if he really looks into this contract and says, wow, they kind of have an option next March to flush 62 of the $240 million on this contract. I think I would feel it from him, but from like the coaching staff being new, you're building. I think you're hoping that 26 or 27 could be your year if you can start stacking up good drafts and get this scheme installed.
Yeah, I think as a team, your pressure is just to simply not be terrible, right? Go win 8-9 games. And it's like, okay, what is Vegas saying? Like 7.5, 8.5 wins? Mm-hmm. You go hit that, then you can make the case, all right, we kind of did what we were supposed to do, and there's some level of competence on a coaching staff that doesn't have a ton of experience, and let's keep this thing moving.
Yeah, I can definitely see the Dak angle where he's got to be feeling it. Like, you're into year 10, and even watching, like, that Netflix quarterback show with Joe Burrow, and he talked about, hey, year 2, we're in the Super Bowl. All of a sudden, I look up now, and I'm going into, like, year 5, year 6, and you think, wow, this goes by so fast. I've got to make the most out of every single season. And especially for Dak, who has now started to deal with some serious injuries over the last several years in his career, You know, you gotta seize the moment now. I mean, who knows where his place is, to your point, within the organization next year. Like, financially, you'd think he's going to be here and he's their starting quarterback. But a lot can change between now and next March.
I mean, let Joe Milton come in and play great for a couple of games while you're hurt. And I think there could be some really interesting conversations being had. You know, but looking at, like, I guess Tyler Guyton feels a lot of pressure right now. You could potentially be a $30 million tackle, you know, if you hit your potential. Or you could be out of the NFL in 2 years.
No doubt. And then the triplet rankings, really quickly, from CBS Sports, did have the Cowboys inside their top 10. Now, every year they do this. It's the top quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end. So it's just basically pass catcher for every team. But they had the Cowboys inside the top 10 here with Dak, Javonte Williams, and CeeDee Lamb. They were voted as high as 5, as low as 14, the average right around 10. The teams in the NFC ahead of them, Tampa Bay, San Fran, the Rams, the Lions, and the Eagles. So, I mean, that's pretty damn – with the running back situation, I figure that would probably drop the Cowboys a lot, but Dak and CeeDee still keeping them pretty high.
Yeah, that's higher than I would expect. You know, I think Dak's outside of the top 10 in most – ratings. I guess you have CeeDee, who's third or fourth in a lot.
Yeah.
And then Javonte Williams, I think, might be 31 or 32 when you're comparing all running backs. So I thought, you know, Fair would have been closer to middle of the pack.
Yeah,
or
I was pretty stunned that they were in the top 10 still.
All right, it's the G-Back Nation here. We're live Comerica backyard at the Globe Center Field, the suite level. And a great series with the Tigers, hopefully, is going to pick up with the pregame at 6:30. We'll chat with Sands coming up at 4:40, and we're back with the C-Note here. Cowboys news of the evening coming up next year on The Fan. I have to chat Men's Tea Clinic with you, though. Here we are going into the weekend. If you want energy to crush whatever you need to do, maybe it's yard work, maybe it's around a golf with the guys, but here we are on Friday afternoon and you're already running on empty. Is the weekend just all about recovery so you can get right? Or do you want to have, you know, a little bit more fun, have a little bit more passion and zest for life? It's waiting for you at Men's Tea Clinic, okay? 5 DFW locations. Just go to mensteaclinic.com or give them a call at 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA. They have very affordable cash options, insurance options, but our Tolos have described Men's Tea Clinic as life-changing, myself included. You know, over the years, I'm sure you found out I got a very busy life. Yesterday, I think on the show, I said, I don't know the last time I went home at 7 o'clock and didn't have another 2 or 3 hours of work to do, right? I choose the life. I like it. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying sometimes I need that pour of energy that Men's Tea Clinic allows me to tap into. This testosterone replacement therapy is amazing, and they've set the industry standard. They are the best at it. Plus, they do hair replacement and bedroom wellness and joint health and all that to get you pain-free, moving around better. MensTeaClinic.com. At ease. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation. We are live here at the Comerica backyard at the Globe, and it's time for the C-Note here, Cowboys news of the evening. Big weekend here at the Globe. It's Barbie night. That's already sold out with your theme night. So is Hello Kitty night, which is tomorrow, but it's also going to be Stephen F. Austin University night. That bad boy is sold out. Some great promotions going on at the Globe here all season long. But for the first 15,000 fans tonight, you get a Rangers pickleball paddle. So that's a lot of fun, and I'm sure you'll be having the most fun of everybody at the pickleball spot, showing off your Rangers pickleball paddle if you're one of the first 15,000 fans. We are here, Comerica Backyard, suite level. And the segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. We go to Joseph Hoyt of the Morning News article earlier today. The five position battles that are staring us in the faces, practices get underway. Monday in Oxnard, our Brian Broaddus will be out there. KNC Masterpiece is going to be out there. And the first one, Scooney versus Span Ford. I'm just excited about maybe one of them taking a step. I think it's cool that Span Ford has risen undrafted out of Minnesota to potentially be good enough, you know, that he gives you a secondary tight end option along with Jake Ferguson. And Span Ford, a guy that caught nearly 50 passes 1 year at Minnesota. So what they've been saying about him during this offseason is if we can get things right, he is such a mismatch with his size over the middle
mm-hmm.
that you know, it's a huge target and a guy that can easily shield linebackers and safeties because he's so much bigger. It's kind of that Rico Gathers approach here, just with a guy who's, you know, pretty strong in the trenches and you can play in line.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. Like, if you get the cherry on top of him being able to be a downfield threat and be a real pass catcher, fantastic. But I already feel good enough about Jake Ferguson in that particular realm to be like, man, we just need somebody who can really come in here. Can you be a really plus blocker for us in the run game when we want to go heavy personnel? Because anything on top of that would be great. But you're seeing these teams that are having great success right now. Two tight ends, heavy personnel, and then they'll hit you with play action out of that. But having tight ends that can really block for you, that's really something. Green Bay's got a little bit of that going right now. Heck, Washington does. I'm trying to remember that dude's name, but they got just like this no-name kind of guy. Washington does. At tight end, you have Zach Ertz, but then the other guy who's just
former K-State fullback hybrid player.
Really good blocker, and that could do a lot for you. So can Scooney or Span Ford be a guy that's like a legit inline blocker here, and if they do anything else, then great.
Well, and Span Ford was good at that in Minnesota. Like, that's what happened. I was excited when they signed him as an undrafted free agent. They seem to love him. Like, I think that he is going to surpass Scooney. And it's interesting, like, maybe Scooney's job might be in jeopardy on the roster. So he's going to have a big showing. It was the third year that Dalton Schultz finally emerged, and we thought maybe he'd be a cut candidate. So, hey, I'm still maybe holding out a little hope there, but you know Clayton Adams wants to run some 12 personnel. He wants those tight ends.
I mean, I think Scooney is talented, and I think he's versatile in a way with his strength and his pass-catching ability. I think I would still very much favor him over John Stevens, but like getting into 12, or like the Steelers are going to do now that they added Jonnu Smith, into 13, and just convincing the other team, we are running it at you, we're coming to knock the snot out of you, and I don't know, 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10 times, Spanford releases.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where the gold is in playing power football. Mm-hmm. It's in making them line up to handle your size and strength and then getting to play action.
Yes.
And I think that's something Dak should be very good at.
Yeah, and one of the guys, by the way, is John Bates, Boise State.
Oh, John Bates. Okay, yeah. That's not the guy that I was thinking of.
Yeah, he was a round 4 pick in 2021 for Washington. He blocks his tail off, but I think one of the most important guys, too, as you get to, like, some of the tertiary pass catchers and whatnot, if Mingo, like, we know what Mingo does in the run game as a blocker.
Great blocker.
And that's going to go a long way, especially if they're doing a lot of the bunch formation stuff and you're going to be cracking down on ends and linebackers.
That, I love that.
There's a great role for that. But if he can also show that he can be a competent pass catcher, It'll be awesome to not be a huge tell when Mingo's on the field that we want to run the ball. Like, we know what he can do in the run game, but man, if he can start making some plays in the passing game too, now all of a sudden it's like Mingo's on the field. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to run because this dude can actually be a threat here. And now that you have all these weapons like Lamb and Pickens together, it should open up great opportunity for all those other guys. But Mingo in particular is just, if he could be that two-way wide receiver for you, it'd be huge.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up because I don't know if people even still realize how big he is.
Like,
he is the size of a smaller tight end. Yeah, I think he has the same measurables of like a Shannon Sharp type of dude, even though he doesn't have the physique. He is that big. And whether it's cracking the end or, you know, getting out in space, running the end around, I think he's got to be a huge part of this run game, which takes us to number two, the second camp battle. How would you guys rank the running backs, you know, as far as chances of being the guy? And I a lot of people mentioned Javonte Williams. The rankings we had are Javonte Williams. I think he is a third and long specialist type of guy, and maybe some first down stuff.
Bro, I am so when they signed him, I'm thinking this is a third down back here to pass protect first and foremost, and then maybe catch a couple of balls. If he has a bagel in the carry column, great. I don't want to hand him the ball. Yeah. I trust Miles Sanders just handing him the ball much more than I trust Javonte Williams. So that's where I would start. Obviously, I'm hopeful for the rookie guys, the Blues and the Moffas of the world, but who knows? Those might not really materialize, or at least not early on in the season. I think week one, you're talking about Miles Sanders being that guy for you, and then hopefully, but there's obviously a huge ceiling on Miles Sanders. That's why you want one of these young guys to step up. And we'll see if the offensive line can be good enough to create some creases.
Yeah, see, I felt the opposite. Like, I thought Williams is a guy, he is good between the tackles. He's a tough dude to bring down. You look at the rookie season when he was before the injury, and now the closer you get removed from that, like, that's a dude that was moving piles. Like, there was a play against the Cowboys that rookie season where it looked like he was absolutely going to be dead. Three players, he ends up coming out of a pile, runs for 20 yards. So he definitely does profile as, like, a third down back that is really good in pass protection and is good out of the backfield.
But, yeah, if he can channel his rookie year, but then it's a different conversation.
That's the hope. Miles Sanders was kind of left for dead in Carolina. I was surprised the juice stuff that we were hearing from Miles Sanders. Hey, I'm hopeful. Like, that'd be awesome because I think Miles Sanders does profile more as, like, hey, this is your early down guy. And then hopefully Blue can really just step up and end up being the big guy that comes in here like Tony Pollard used to do with Zeke and give you the home run ability.
Yeah, I think Sanders has the best chance as far as being that threat on first and second down that, hey, we might move the chains without even throwing the ball. But Miles Sanders, I feel like the chances of that actually being reality are below 50%.
Sure.
You know, I think you have four or five guys that are in a long shot. So I think the most important thing here is that the scheme and the offensive line allow them to be amongst the best teams at yards before contact.
Yes.
That's what's going to create the good running game. Because, I mean, you could throw Lipke in there as well that they talk well about. Maybe you have five guys, or, you know, if you're still a Deuce Vaughn believer, maybe you got six, but they're all, you know, in the low probabilities as far as being a guy that you're going to be able to depend on any more than a week-to-week type of situation. And I would bet next year going into the draft we're going to be in the same spot. Like, where do you take the guy? And, you know, maybe that moves up to round three next year. They still haven't taken a guy before round four since Zeke.
No.
And, like, 80% of your top-producing running backs are taken in the first three rounds. It's possible to get them on day three. But I would think next year, if none of these guys can really convince you, you got to look more seriously about investing in that position next year. Okay, D-line. A lot of battles going on here, and I think overall I feel great about the defensive line, maybe second only to, or maybe third to I don't know, second to wide receiver, third to offensive line. I'm not sure where you would rank that, but I feel good. But the only two specific players that I'm sure on are Micah and Osa. Outside of that, like, the configuration could be anything between Toya and Mozzie Smith. Or mm-hmm. are we going Sam Williams and Neyland? Or are you going Dante Fowler and Ezeraku? Like, I don't know how you would even begin to rank these guys of who's most likely to be actual starters.
I feel pretty good about Solomon Thomas because he's coming over with a defensive line coach that he's had success with, and Aaron Whitecotton. But that also could be a guy, like, are they going to play Solomon Thomas with Osa? Or is Solomon Thomas going to be a guy that ends up spelling Osa? Is it third down, pass rushing situations, he kicks in there? So it will be interesting. Now, I know they want to do the rotations. Aaron Whitecotton was big on that when we talked with him on day three. He stressed wanting to keep these guys fresh. But I think they are in a much better place, at least to be able to set the edge and stop the run with Marshawn Nealon and Peyton Turner. The question has always been with Peyton Turner, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Is this the year that he finally does and maybe gets himself a payday?
Yeah, I'm just hoping that Jay Toya can be a guy in the middle, because I think that is still a glaring issue, and your run defense can only be so good if you have a below-average one tech.
Yeah, maybe this is a spot that's most likely to be shopped for a week or two into camp.
Yeah.
You know, one of these big 33-year-old, 325-pound guys who doesn't want to be at all of camp, understandably so, is a veteran, is heavy. You know, he's ready to sign. The Cowboys have, you know, made a lot of moves mid-camp over the years, and I think that along with corner might be the top spots I'm looking to add players. And we go to corner next. Can somebody step up to alleviate the injury to Diggs and the need for Revelle to develop? I just don't see it. You know, I think you're hoping for a guy who's somewhat sufficient. That's not any way to go about trying to win the Super Bowl, but I mean, like, who is it? Is it Carson? Is it Elam? Is it Mukuwamu? I guess I hope it's Elam because he's got the pedigree, and maybe he was squeezed out in a deep defensive back room there in Buffalo. Maybe he lost confidence in the change to a new scheme. I would say he's got the best chance of giving us that sufficient level play. What do you guys think?
Elam's definitely going to have to be the guy that steps up here. If he doesn't, then they're going to be in a lot of trouble. I mean, I'm not giving up on Kalen Carson. I liked the player that I saw coming out of college. I thought he played pretty well in camp and in training camp. I think that he just totally lost his confidence last year. So can they get him playing back and confident? Elam is the biggest wild card of this group. There's a reason he was the mark in Buffalo, and he was starting, and he was terrible for them. Is it really a change of scenery that's going to help him click back in? Talented player, we got to pray.
Yeah, we do. And then maybe we got to pray at safety a little bit as well that Wanye Thomas can be better than Donovan Wilson, because if he is, you could cut him and free up $7 million of cap space. I think that's huge. I think he stays on the team, though. Donovan Wilson, just to finish it up here on strong safety, I like the idea of giving young guys a chance, but we've seen nothing in the games other than some flashes to make you believe down in and down out they could be better than Donovan Wilson, which kind of stinks because he's not amazing, right? He's a splash player, but if you're relying on him for fits, for coverage, for anything other than, hey, you might get a turnover or a big hit out of this play, you know, I think you're in trouble. But they need turnovers so bad that I think he stays on the team.
Desperate for turnovers, yes, and that's been one of the things he's been really solid at. So you just, this defense has so many questions and concerns.
It does. It's the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Will be out there next week in Oxnard with Broadus watching the practices, and then the three of us fly out the following week to take our coverage to the next level. But KNC's going to be there all next week, 10 to 2 here, middays on The Fan. What do we have today for Krusty's Corner, buddies?
Well, you know, Brian usually likes to do a Friday game. It's been a while since we did a little true or fart. Let's do a little pre-training camp edition. That's next in the Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jacob Ray, and for Lucius Alexander this week. Lucius will be back on Monday coming up at 4 o'clock. What do the Rangers do about these five dilemmas? But right now it's time for Krusty's Corner, and here's Woolchuck for the King.
All righty. Brian likes to do, you know, the Friday games, and I figured it's been a while, and I've had a bunch stored here for an edition of NFL True or Fart. So if the Tolos are cool with it, 877-881-1053, I think it's time to break it out. Of course, we are a show of the people, by the people, for the people. I've said that for a long time. So if you don't like it, let me know, and we'll workshop it. But if you have never played this game before, well, thank you so much, the greatness of Robert Flores. Take it away, Jacob.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or fart, false, Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All right, we're going to start in our own backyard.
That was actually a fart on Marshawn that year.
It was.
Yeah,
it was not. It was a big-time fart. Play along with us. Micah Parsons, Eric. He's not going to be suiting up for the Cowboys in week one.
Oh, that's a fart. He's 100% going to be signed and delivered, and he's not missing that Philadelphia game. There's just no way. Week one, when they are doing their championship banner celebrations, there's no way you're going to keep the line off the field. He's going
to
be
see
hungry.
His favorite team hoist that thing?
Yeah.
My goodness,
you're
right.
To see his favorite squad. Like, he ain't going to miss that.
Man, I'm going to say that Micah Parsons actually is going to threaten, because he's trying to be the good soldier through this negotiation and say, I'm going to do like Dak. I'm not going to miss any practice. This is all Jerry's fault. And I think the coach has talked to him about, hey, in order to build this thing the way we want it for the vibes, everybody's got to be here. And if you want to be a team leader, you got to be here. So I think he's going in there. But I think him and his agent know the Cowboys might take that as a sign of weakness they can exploit. And the only real hammer they have right now to avoid the franchise tag, which is probably going to be $6 million less than his APY, is to threaten sitting out against Philadelphia. So I think he'll threaten it. I think it's the Cowboys that will cave because they know if we go up against Philadelphia, you can without Micah Parsons, we aren't winning. That's 0-1 to start the season. Micah has a rare Emmitt Smith type of impact on winning and losing that will ultimately have the Cowboys cave on Micah and his agent. I mean, Micah is a great businessman, right? And his agent is the best and the toughest. I don't see them playing another down for this football team without a deal.
Jacob, true or fart, Micah is not playing week one against the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going to go fart here. I just think he's got too much fire in him, and there's like the amount he hates Philly and the amount of mess that they talked between the two of them last year, I just think there's no way he's missing week one.
All right, Jake, I'm going to keep it with you here, buddy. True or fart, it's the Washington Commanders' turn to win the NFC East.
Ooh, I'm going to go true here just because I'm really high on Jaden Daniels and I love Dan Quinn as a coach. So I'm going to go true here. I think they take it.
Gavin?
Yeah, I don't think they have enough defense, man. I think it's a three-way race with Philly being a slight favorite over the Cowboys and Washington. I can't see Washington doing it. They lost a guard in the playoffs. Tougher schedule. No, I'm going to say Washington's not quite ready to take this step under Dan Quinn. I mean, he did not do a good job of signing free agents who can help the defense. And I think all of his top three free agent signings overall missed significant time last year. They're injured guys. So I don't think they've done enough to make me believe they'll even follow up last year's level of success.
So I guess that's a fart.
That's a fart.
All right. I'm going to go true here, and it's just simply I believe in Jaden Daniels. I mean, that's pretty much what this comes down to. So I'm with you. I don't think their roster is that fantastic. I think especially on the defensive side of the ball, like they're going to have some issues. They did last year. But I think Jaden Daniels is a cheat code, and I'm betting against the Eagles being hungry and healthy this year. And so that's why they won't win it. And then I just don't think the Cowboys have enough, especially defensively, and they certainly don't have a Jaden Daniels level quarterback that's going to get them over the top. So I'm gonna rock with the Commanders. That's going to be my pick. So as much as I want to go fart there, I got to go true.
All right, Gavin, true or fart, all four NFC North teams, the Lions, the Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears, they're all making the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, hell no.
A huge fart.
I mean, Green Bay has significant issues. Who knows what Minnesota is? It could just be a one-team playoff situation there in that division, but absolutely not the Bears. I don't know where the assumption is that they're going to take a big step, and I'm not a big believer in Caleb Williams yet. I think he might be like a solid NFL starting quarterback, but I don't think we saw anything to make us believe he's going to put a team on his back, so I'm going to fart on that.
Yeah, I'm going to fart on that as well. I would bet one team win or makes the playoff out of that division more than all four. That would be historical. Even three is going to be challenging. So, yeah, I'm total. That's a total fart, dude.
Jacob,
as a resident Bears fan, I'm absolutely going to go true. I think Ben Johnson's going to transform this offense. I think Caleb Williams is going to win, or going to be the best second year quarterback out of all of them. And I think Dennis Allen is going to be the sleeper assistant coach this year and come in and transform this defense. I'm going true.
Lead the league in hopium right there.
You're right.
You just ball sacked us in a true or fart segment.
You drink it.
That's history
right
there.
You drink that hopium, Jacob. I love it. All right, true or fart, Eric Chiafalo. The Kansas City Chiefs streak of 9 straight AFC West titles comes to an end this year.
That's another fart. I still believe in the Chiefs being the best in that division. And, man, if the Ravens or the Bills can't get past them in the playoffs this year, then it's never going to happen. And I think there's a chance of it this year, if that was the question. But in terms of winning their division, I got some respect for the Broncos, mainly defensively. I think the Raiders are on the come up here. They have an adult in the room at head coach and Pete Carroll now. You had some talent, Chip Kelly, Geno Smith, that kind of deal, Ashton Jeanty. But and then the Chargers, man, they're just going to be solid. You know, I think that the Chargers and the Broncos are just going to be solid. But I think they both have some low ceilings offensively. And so I will take a hungry dog, Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid for sure.
I think the smart money is probably on Kansas City, but I do think there's an opportunity here for Denver, second-year quarterback, one of the best offensive lines, one of the best defense, brought in a new running back. I'm going to pick Denver. So I'm going to say that's true.
That's my guy. That's my guy.
Wow.
The Broncos trained together here.
Don't get too trigger happy on the fart box over there, Jakey. That was a truth.
Sorry.
That was a truth bomb.
Well, Jake, are you going fart on that?
No, he took Denver. Thing? Oh, I missed the question. No, yeah. I'm going to go true here. I think Kansas City's got it. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they navigate the Rashee Rice suspension when that does come out and see if kind of the same woes bite that offense that kind of got them at the end of the year. Mm. But I think down the stretch, when the big games come out, I think Mahomes is going to prevail, and I think they got it. So I'm going to go true.
All right, Jake, I'm going to stay with you here. Shedeur Sanders of the Cleveland Browns. You got Shedeur Sanders. You got Joe Flacco. You got Kenny Pickett. You got Dylan Gabriel. At least three Browns start a game at quarterback this year. Three different Browns quarterbacks, true or fart?
Well, I'm going to go true, and I think the only QB that's left out of that is actually going to be Joe Flacco. I think Dylan Gabriel starts more games than he does. I think Shedeur Sanders will be the quarterback that ends the season for the Browns, but I think he's gonna have to take time to work his way up and learn the playbook and get all of his teammates to trust him. So I'm going to go Kenny Pickett starts the season, and Shedeur Sanders ends the season with a little bit of Dylan Gabriel sprinkled right in the middle.
I like that. I like that.
I mean, young, inexperienced guys, I could see easily one of them either getting hurt or not playing well enough. So I think three is the smart money.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a true as well. That's a true as well. I mean, they're going to suck this year in a big way. They're not going to feel married to any one of these quarterbacks. In fact, they're going to be incentivized to try and see what they have in guys like Gabriel and Shedeur. And then, you know, I'm sure Flacco or Pickett will get a little bit of game here, game there. So, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer.
I got one last one here that I'm making up on the fly because Adam Schefter has reported that the 49ers are placing wide receivers Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall on the active/physically unable to perform list.
Even Pearsall, huh?
Yeah.
He get shot again?
Both of them. So, with that being said, Adam Peters, GM of the Washington Commanders, came over from San Francisco. True or fart? 49ers are going to trade for Terry McLaurin.
Wow, that would change things significantly. I was just looking at win total over-unders, and I was prepared to say San Francisco is the best lock on the board at 10.5. I'm taking the under, but if they got McLaurin, I would get real tight in a hurry.
I think they are real tight financially. Yeah. They've got money for Ayuk. They've paid a lot of these guys, including Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, name them. They've paid them. So I don't think they have the dollars because you're trading for McLaurin and handing him a contract, mm-hmm. right? So I don't think they have the stomach for that right now.
Jakey?
So that's a fart.
Ooh, this is like the two teams that Cowboys fans want to get worse at the same time. And unfortunately, in this scenario, one of them's going to get better. I think McLaurin stays in Washington. I think it'd be a really dumb move for the Commanders to move Jaden Daniels' top target going into year two. And I also think that's way too big of a move to happen before training camp. So I'm going to say fart.
I'm with you. Fart. But, hey, a fun one just to kind of throw in there.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for that Krusty's Corner pre-training camp edition of True or Fart. We're live at the Globe Comerica backyard here all the way till 6:30. Rangers pregame is coming up next. We'll take a look at the U.S. Open leaderboard, see how the local guy did in day two, and then we're going to get to some Rangers content and what do they do about these five dilemmas coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
Yeah, but first we got to talk about Advanced Hair Restoration and AdvancedHair.com. True or fart, you should go to AdvancedHair.com right now. That's a true. Everyone keeps asking me, what makes Advanced Hair Restoration different? Let me tell you. And along with some details on their once-a-year summer savings event, first off, Advanced Hair stands by their results, and their before and afters are second to none. You can check them out at AdvancedHair.com. With Advanced Hair, your own natural hair is guaranteed to grow. Truly unprecedented stuff here.
Advanced Hair combines top-rated physicians with modern technology, and they create sort of a concierge-quality experience that is truly hard to find elsewhere. And finally, Advanced Hair's Advanced FUE begins regrowing your own natural hair the very next day. It's quick, it's simple, it's very easy, and especially right now, you probably have a more flexible schedule this summer, and you've perhaps been waiting for that special savings opportunity. It is here, fellas. Advanced Hair Summer Savings Event will get you the most hair for your dollar. It's their best offer ever. So for details and to schedule your free consultation, you can call 469-599-HAIR. That's 469-599-HAIR, or go to advancedhair.com. One-day treatment, life-changing results. Your new hair is guaranteed to grow. 469-599-HAIR or advancedhair.com.